All right, our reading will begin in chapter 9, verse number 9. All right, verse number 9, and it reads, because I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, as Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, follow me. And he got up and followed him. Amen. Now I want you to put your Bible down or put your device down. Turn to your neighbor. Grab your neighbor by both hands. They need your attention right now. Grab them by both hands. Look your neighbor square in the eye and say, neighbor, I am thankful for the present. Neighbor, I am thankful for the present. Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, I am thankful for the present. You know, in this Advent season, and we're at our third Sunday of the Advent season, and one of the things that we had already shared with you what our objective is to talk about what Jesus came to give us. And once we understand what Jesus came to give us, it will help us understand what we ought to be about, and that is giving. Because where would we be if it had not been for the Lord? You know, on Christmas morning, some folk gonna run under the tree, grab a gift, lift that gift up, open that gift, and Reverend Dad, they're gonna be excited about the gift that they got. You know, but what we have to realize is that we have received a great gift. A gift that has moved us from darkness to the marvelous light. And in receiving that gift, y'all, I want you to understand something. We didn't go looking for that gift. That gift came looking for us. And when that gift came and found us, it didn't find us at our best. It didn't find us without spot or wrinkle. It didn't find us because we dotted all our I's and crossed all our T's. It found us at the unopportune time when everybody else was dismissing us, passing us by like we didn't exist, hated us for whatever reason. That gift came when we least expected. And what we're seeing here in Matthew chapter 9 is that one of the people he called is Matthew. And he was one of the original 12 disciples. And what we're going to do is take a look at this scripture. You know, I want you to understand, whether you know it or not, there's a whole lot of meat in this one verse. Because what we have to see is this. It tells us here in verse number 9, as Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew. And what was Matthew doing? Sitting at the tax booth. Now, before we go further, we have to understand who Matthew was. What was his vocation? Matthew is the one who they say Jesus gave him this name, but he was born with the name Levi. Matthew was a tax collector. Now, let me tell you about tax collectors. Now, I'm not talking about folk who work for the IRS today. They ain't none like them tax collectors back then. Because they all have rules and regulations that they all abide by today. But back then, Sister Rose, there wasn't no rules and regulations. Their job was to collect the money. And if you got more money, that's fine. That's what tax collectors did. You see, the Roman Empire, y'all, were very It was a bureaucracy that understood when they overtook nations and villages and how they would structure them. I should say restructure them. And then get some of the folk who they've taken over to get on their team, Reverend Rhodes. And the way they would do it is that whenever they came in and took over a city or area, they would always have a governor that is appointed that came directly from Rome. And then also what they would do within that society, Deacon Faulkner, they would pick out certain folks and in some cases let some folk volunteer. But you had to be able to write and read and be educated and be able to articulate. And these individuals were responsible for collecting the taxes from everybody else. And the way it worked is this. Deacon Booth, the tax collectors were instructed what they are to take from folk. If it's a poor person, you take at least this much. You know, if it's somebody who's doing, you know, rather well or okay, take this much. And if they are rich, take this much. But they knew that, for instance, a poor person might have to take 2 pence. Somebody who's a middle class, it might take 10 pence. Somebody who's rich, they might take 50 pence. Right? They knew that's what they had to turn into Rome. But Sister Archer, they understood that Rome gave them some wiggle room. So they wouldn't just take the minimum. They would take what they needed and then add a little extra to put in their own pockets. And I want you to know, during that time, there was no such thing as a poor tax collector. Stealing the term from Reverend Dabney, they were ballers back in the day. They were living large and in charge. That's who tax collectors were. So that's also one of the ways how the Romans were able to get those folk who they just conquered, to get some of them on their side. Because, look, Rome might have conquered us, boy, but I'm still making a little money. But when they conquered Israel, the Jews had now fallen under the Roman Empire. And then they got Jews who became tax collectors. And these Jews utilized the same practice. Poor folk, you know, maybe 2 pence. Don't quote me on this. I'm just using an example. Folk who are like middle class, maybe 10 pence. The rich folk, 50 pence. And they could do the same thing. Long as you collect for us what we expect, if you can get some extra, I ain't mad at you. So the Jewish tax collectors were robbing their brothers and sisters who were Jews. And because they did these practices, don't you know the Jews hated the tax collectors? And the tax collectors were Jews. They hated them so that they categorized tax collectors with murderers, robbers, and you didn't want to be a tax collector. You remember when the priests went into the temple to pray? And he prayed and said in his prayer, "And Lord, I'm glad I'm not like this tax collector." You see, I want you to understand something. If you were a tax collector during this time, I mean, in Israel, and you were a Jew, you were ostracized. You were not allowed, Sister Faye, to go to the temple and worship. Other Jews would look at you and look past you, Carolyn. They didn't care because they knew that you were a tax collector. So you're not one of my brothers. You're not part of us chosen folk, because if you was part of us as one of the chosen people, you wouldn't be robbing us. So they were robbing their brothers and sisters. So tax collectors, I said, was ostracized. And since they were ostracized, the only folk, Reverend Rhodes, they could hang out with was other tax collectors. Or other folk they could hang out with was people who were considered sinners and were also ostracized from the temple. So these were always the folk who were looked down upon and were hated by their Jewish brothers and sisters. And we see what is going on here. And because of that, I don't know the mindset of Matthew. You know, maybe, you know, at some point Matthew realized what he was doing. But he wanted to change and no longer wanted to be a tax collector. So he goes and talks to one of the Pharisees and said, I'm thinking about giving it up and I don't want to do it no more. They say, I don't care whether you give it up or not. In our eyes, you're going to always be a... And because of what you've done to us, your sins are unforgiven. So you're not allowed back in the number. So in so many ways, Sister Holmes, the tax collectors felt stuck. Even if I give this up, they're not going to show me no forgiveness. Even if I left this area and go to another area and try to get a part of another temple, if any of the Jews here ever traveled there and they find out I used to be a tax collector, they're going to kick me out of that temple as well. I feel stuck where I am. I can't change, and even if I do change, folk ain't going to still like me. All they're going to remember is what I did and not recognizing that I'm willing to make some changes. Thank God our society is not like that today. Thank God folk are willing to see us in our present situation rather than allowing us to focus on all the stuff we did wrong. Thank God people don't always remind us from what we used to be and can't see us for what we are. Thank God that we're able to turn around and folk be happy about it. But I want y'all to understand something. Matthew felt stuck. Even if he wanted to, he couldn't change and be accepted. So if I can't change and be accepted, I might as well keep on being the person who I am. But the one thing that excites me, when the Lord looks at us, he doesn't look at our vocation. He doesn't look at all the stuff that we've done wrong. He doesn't remind us of what we used to be. Because I want you to know that when he walked along and he saw Matthew at that tax booth, I want you to know that he looked past all of his faults and he saw his need. And since he saw the need in Matthew, he only says two words to Matthew, and those two words are, follow me. Can you understand how this could be? You mean to tell me Jesus ain't asked him, what is he doing? Does he really want to change first? Do I need to question your faithfulness to me? Are you really going to be all that I expect you to be? Jesus didn't put any stipulations on Matthew. The only stipulation Matthew had to do was follow him. You see, I don't know about you, but my brothers and my sisters, it excites me to think about what the Lord has done with Matthew. He did not put any barriers up. He didn't put down a checklist. He just said to him, follow me. He says that, he didn't care about what he was. He knew what he was doing, but he still wouldn't hold that against him if he was willing to get up and what? Follow him. But I want you to understand something. Jesus did all this. Why? Because Jesus focuses on the present. He knows what he was. But the reality is, Jesus says, though, but do you want to change? Do you want to continue down the path you're going and stay stuck where you are? Or are you ready to make the change? So that's why he said, if you're ready to make a change, then you got to be willing to what? Because I'm not concerned about your past. I'm focusing on your. You see, my brothers and sisters, if we can really get that in our spirits and get that in our hearts and our mind, we got to stop focusing on what was and start praising God for what is. I don't care who might have dismissed you. I don't care who stepped over you. I don't care who hates you. But the one thing that you and I can be excited about is that Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And since I know the Lord loves me, I know for a fact that God is focusing on my what? Present. Because he's not going to look back at what I was. He knows all that.
but he wants to know, do I presently right now want to make the change? This is the reality that we have to face. And as we face this reality, we see that now Matthew has to make a choice. You see, Jesus wants the best for us. But do we want the best for ourselves? It tells us that Jesus never wants us to be stuck in our yesterday. But he wants us to move in our present situation. But if all we can think about is what we were, then we're unable to get to the present and move from where we are. Because if we are focusing on what we were, that means that we are stuck. And as long as you are stuck, where are you going? How are you going to get there? You ain't. Why? Because you are. And I want you to understand, if you are a child of God, you recognize that Jesus did not come for you to stay stuck in your sin. Jesus came to free us from our sins. But we first have to be willing to believe him, free our minds, and step out on what? Faith. So I want you to know the scripture specifically says that Matthew did what, y'all? He got up and he followed Jesus. And since he got up and followed Jesus, what he is saying, Jesus, I thank you that you see me in my present situation and you are giving me a chance to get better than what I was. So Lord, since you want me to follow you, here I come. You see, my brothers and sisters, you got to understand something. The only thing keeping you stuck is you. Jesus is the only thing that can free you from whatever has you stuck or has you bound. Don't you know that there is nothing stronger than our God? Don't you know that there's nothing that has the ability to keep you where you are? It's all in your mind. You got to be willing to say, I don't care what they say about me. I'm going to make the change. I don't care how they might look funny at me when I walk into church, but I'm going to make the change. I don't care how much they know that I've done wrong. I'm not going to stay stuck where I am. It's time for me to make the change. You see, because I understand something, that the Lord has something for me that isn't going to just free me while I'm here on this earth, but it's going to free me through all eternity. And since I know I'm free through all eternity, I'm going to make it my business to start following Jesus, and I'm going to start following Jesus in the present. I ain't going to wait till I fix it. I ain't going to wait till I get it right. Hold up, Pastor, what you saying? Look at the scripture. Did Jesus tell him to get it together, then come? No. Did Jesus say, when you stop being a tax collector, come? No. All Jesus said to him was, follow me. So in essence, Jesus didn't put nothing that was a stumbling block in front of him. So if Jesus ain't putting stumbling blocks in front of folk, then why do we as a church put stumbling blocks in front of folk? We want them to come to our church, but you got to stop doing this. But you got to stop doing that. If they're going to come and follow Jesus, I want you to understand something. Something just happens when people start following Jesus. Because when you start following Jesus, some of the stuff that used to hang on you just starts to fall off. Because you realize that when you start following Jesus, you can't clean yourself up. Because if you could have cleaned yourself up, then you would not need Jesus. And the reason why you follow Jesus, because he's the only one who can clean us up. He's the only one who can heal us. He's the only one who can deliver us. He's the only one who can make a way for us. Do I got a witness in God's house? Anybody know that only Jesus cleans you up? Only Jesus sets you free? Only Jesus turns you around? Do I got any witnesses in God's house? Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's nobody but Jesus who can fix us, heal us, deliver us, and clean us. Somebody know to put their head back and say, thank you. Nobody. You see, let me let you in on a secret. You know why Matthew started following Jesus? Because he knew that his life couldn't change under his own ability. He might have tried, but since the pen, it didn't work. He might have started letting folk know, I don't want to be this no more. But Sister Battle, they said, it don't matter. I'm going to just remember what you used to be. And I ain't going to see you in no other way. You see, so he didn't see any way of being able to clean himself up. But if you truly want to get clean, if you truly want to be healed, if you truly want to be delivered, if you truly want to be changed, I want you to know the only way those things come is when you what? Follow Jesus. And how do you start following Jesus? Not in your yesterday, but in your present situation. There are too many folk who say, well, I'm going to come to the Lord. I'm going to come when I get it right. I'm going to come when I stop doing this. I'm going to come when I ain't doing this and that no more. But what I'm here to tell you, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, it ain't going to work. You see, as long as you try to fix it, it ain't going to work. Because if you could have fixed it, then you wouldn't have no reason to come to Jesus. And the reason why you got to come to Jesus, because what you are dealing with is bigger than you. You can't control it. You can't fix it. The only one who can, his name is Jesus. That's why he came here on this earth, to give us an opportunity to get it right. But in order to get right, you got to be willing to follow him. Which means is that if you ain't following him, then nothing in your life can get right, be right, or stay right. But what Matthew realized, that when he started following Jesus, I want you to know, as he started following Jesus, I want you to realize the stuff that was on him was just falling off. And as he continued to use Jesus as his example, he could see that Jesus was all about serving the Father and doing the Father's will. And he was showing them by example. And the beauty about Jesus, he wasn't pointing out to folk all the stuff they did wrong. He wasn't pointing out to them how you fell flat on your face. What he showed them is that there is a better way. On your own, you can't fix it. But when you put your trust in the Father through the Son, great things are happening in your life. You see, and I want you to understand, hold up. Sister Mormon, there's always a peanut gallery of folk who are sitting on the sideline, who are looking at what the Lord has done and called you to do. Mother Austin, could you imagine all the peanut gallery folk who were looking at Jesus having the audacity to call a tax collector? Jesus ought to have better sense than call a tax collector. Who in the world is going to want to follow Jesus if Jesus is going to have a tax collector follow him? You see, my brothers and my sisters, I could even look at some of the other disciples, Kaomi, who are looking at Jesus and saying, whoa, Jesus, you know, this dude's a tax collector. Most Jews hate him, if not all the Jews. And Jesus, you telling him to follow us? And I can see Jesus looking at them like, oh, really? Like you were all that, a bag of chips, two sodas, and a shake on the side. You think you was all that? You weren't all that. You were just toe up from the floor up just like he was. You're no better than him. So how are you going to tell me who I can call? How are you going to tell me who can follow me? You see, my brothers and my sisters, don't even look at the peanut gallery. Don't even give them no attention. If anything, if one of them come out, just step on them and God will go, shh. You see, I want you to understand, I'm so thankful that we have a Savior who ain't out there trying to take straw polls before he does anything. Because if he had took a straw poll, you think I ought to call that tax collector? What y'all think about that? You see, God ain't looking for our vote. Because guess what? We ain't no different from that tax collector. Don't you know we were all in that same position? We were all caught up in our sins, but we are where we are because of God's grace and mercy. You are not all that high and mighty that you can't get excited when the Lord calls folk you just don't expect. I'm here to tell you, God does not need your permission. God does not need my permission. He is God all by him. You see what we got to learn to do, y'all? I'm thankful for the present. When we look at what the Lord has done for us, You see, the Lord doesn't want us to focus on our past because it's already gone. He doesn't want us to be concerned with what's going to go on tomorrow because tomorrow ain't here. You see, what the Lord has given us is today. Today is a gift. That's why today is called the... Oh, somebody working with me right now. Isn't that why we come to church on Sunday? Because I'm thankful for the present. Because where would I be if God hadn't blessed me? What could I do if God ain't keep me right? How could I move if I didn't have activity of my limbs? How could I think if God didn't keep me in my right mind? How could I see if God didn't bless me with the sight? When you think about all that the Lord has done for you, I say I'm thankful for the present. Because if it had not been for God blessing me in these present moments, where would I be? Do I got any witnesses in God's house who understands how good our God is? Anybody want to thank God for the present of today? Because if it had not been for God's present for us today, where would we be? Somebody ought to praise him right now. Because it's God's grace and mercy that brought us this far. And it's going to take us all the way. Do I got any witnesses in God's house? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody want to thank him right now? Somebody ought to put their head back and say, hallelujah. I'm thankful for the present. You can have a seat for a minute. I'm almost done. But do you understand what I'm saying? You got to embrace the present. And you know what? And the Lord gives us opportunities to come in our present moment. You know why? If I could deal with the psyche of Matthew for a minute, can I do that for a minute? Can I use my own spiritual imagination as God has blessed me with? I can see Matthew at that tax booth for all that time. He realizes, see, what happens with all of us? We first get caught up in the material. Then the spiritual's got to catch up. Oh, don't get overly holy on me now. Don't get overly holy on me now. We were all born into a world of sin. We were all born in it. And when you really look back on it, a lot of the things we were focusing on is stuff. Matthew might have been a young man. I'm not sure how young he was. Even when Jesus called him, I don't know how old he was. I don't know how long he was a tax collector. But if I could just use my imagination, just think that when he first got started out, he got recruited by somebody who was already a tax collector, Lionel. And they told him, man, this is the life. I got all the bling bling I want. I live in that big house over there. I got my own chariot to move around in. And I even got a few servants that make my meals and go fetch my water when it's time for me to take a bath. You see, they got so caught up in his lifestyle. But I could see Matthew getting recruited and say, man, I like what you got. How can I get it? Bro, you can get started under me. I'll bring you in. And from here, then you can go on and have your own booth. And you can get paid. And what happened? He started out doing it. But as soon as he started out, Aaron initially, all the Jews would look at him. They'd pay their taxes, and as they gave him his taxes, they would turn and spit. Like, you're nothing to me. If you ain't had that Roman government behind on your back, bro, don't turn your back. I take care of you. But I know the government is backing you, so I can't kill you. So initially, he just shrugged it off. I'm like, it ain't no biggie, because I'm getting paid. But after a while, he realized that all his friends who he hung out with, Tiffany, they just left him. Because the Jewish community looks down upon tax collectors. And after time, Livia, he said, this ain't what I want to do no more. I made a mistake. Let me go talk to the Pharisees. Y'all, I'm going to give up being a tax collector. And as I do, can I be forgiven and come back to the temple? Nah, bro. You made your decision. You done made your bed, and your bed is hard. Now you got to sleep in it. Isn't that how folk get involved with selling drugs? You show them all the glitz and the glory, how good it looked, but they don't tell you about the number of folk that get locked up, how many that get shot and killed. They just want you to look at the nice ride they got, how they got the 80-inch flat-screen TV, how they ain't got cook no more. They make so much money, they just always order everything. You see, everybody want to show you the glitz and the glamour, but everything that glitter is not. And everything that look good ain't good for you. But I want you to understand that he was stuck where he was, but the Lord came through. But let's bring it to December 17, 2017. What have you gotten hoodwinked into doing? And you feel that you're stuck and you can't get out. I want the Lord in my life, but the Lord can't take me like this. That's a lie. The Lord doesn't care what condition you're in. He just wants you to follow him. You see, Matthew's story, and as he tells us here in this verse, when he says the Lord didn't give him any kind of stipulations, no requirements, just follow me. The reason why he did that is he wanted him to know, it doesn't matter what you were. It's about how I am in your present and going to move you to what you can become. And the same is holding true for us. The Lord is not here to remember all the stuff you did. He's here to show you you can do better. And when you're willing to do better, he's going to bless you. He's going to take you to places you thought you never could be. Yeah. Why? Because he first wants you to start by what? Following him. And when you follow him, you ain't going to know it all. You ain't going to get it right. You even going to misquote some of the Bible books. Y'all done told y'all about my story when I first came to church, right? And that time I went to my first Bible study, and we was studying the book of Job. And I told him I was in Job, and I was reading in the verses that we were talking about. And just like y'all just did, folk in class laughed at me. And I'm trying to understand, where is the humor? I have said J-O-B to me spells. If you wanted to spell Job, you're supposed to put an E on it. Are you working with me? Now, if I didn't realize why I was there, when folk laughed at me in Bible study, I could have left. But you know what God told me? I got something for you to do. He had called me before I was even saved, but I couldn't answer it until I got saved. But I realized that there was a calling on my life. And the Lord said to me, follow me. And it don't care how many folk laugh at you. It don't care how they suck their teeth at you. It doesn't care if they whisper about you behind your back. You're not there because of them. You're going to be there for them. But you are where you are because of who I am in your life. So what am I saying to you, my brothers and my sisters? You aren't here because of anybody other than Jesus. But the Lord is going to use you to help the same folk who is all around you. So if you are stuck, it's time to realize you don't have to be stuck anymore. It's time to understand the Lord wants to